frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see. My woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive. And a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch cat. Fish from dusk till dawn. We make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace, we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. Grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land.
and a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office, and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Everybody, Mad Science Show is live. Science is it what you can prove or theoretical shenanigans? Stephen Gibbons in the chat room says, as with most of this society, shiziz, it is a contradiction, one rule for accredited scientists who pay thousands of pounds / dollars for a piece of paper and another for the layman, the hobby physicist working from home or a garage who does practical work, showing you the results of connecting this with that, and then a qualified scientist comes along, baffles everyone with BS and how, according to one law or another, the experiment could not be possible. Work And although the layman has shown physicality, or physically, that it does work, everyone believes the scientist because he has a piece of paper from a university which he bought and paid for. So long story short, shenanigans, my friend. Yeah, you're listening to Mad Science, www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html, where you have access to not one, but three separate chat rooms, potentially more one day, who knows. We might throw an extra chat room up there if you got one you want people to join in on. So anyway, posted a few links over there, one of which is a really good documentary with basically about the moon hoax. And, you know, regardless of what you want to say, back in my day, when I was going to school and they taught science in school, we did little experiments. You know, we plugged a penny and a nickel into a lemon and we made a battery and tested it out. And we talked about what actually was going on there, you know, and about electron flow and all that kind of stuff. And so we actually had some hands-on science where we looked through microscopes and everything else, and we observed and repeated and all the things for the scientific method to, you know, test out theories. So, you know, we actually did some real science back in the day. I don't know what's happened to modern day education, whether or not they're really wanting to teach you science, or maybe they're just wanting to teach you something so that you'll believe whatever lie comes past it all. Also, I posted a, a Wikipedia article about science. So if you really want to know what science is all about and the evolution of science and that kind of stuff, go read this little article, and you might actually be amazed at the definition of science and where it all came from and the mathematics involved and the scientific method. The scientific method seeks to explain the events of nature in a reproducible way, and the explanatory thought experiment or hypotheses put forward explanation using principles such as parsimony. You just have to go and read it. So, you know, basically, they got a article here about science and basically the history of science and all that kind of stuff. But science to me has always been about experimentation. You know, you got all these theories that previous scientists and science philosophers had come together to basically try to explain the world that we live in. And so they took observation and they used common sense and basically look for an explanation of what was occurring in, you know, in the world, how things work, so to speak. And so with that said, a lot of it we're talking about theoretical science, you know, what we believe is going on, but it's not necessarily about just what you believe is happening as opposed to what you can prove is happening using the scientific method, or get as close to how things work. Also, I don't know, let me check and see if I posted that link as well. Yeah, anyway, there's an article out there that says, forget what you've read, science can't prove a thing. And it goes down to about, science having a word problem, and you know, theory of climate change is just a theory. We can't prove humans are causing climate change. Uncertainty, even proponents of human-induced climate change admit uncertainty, a winning formula. The burden for fixing this communication problem falls most heavily on the scientist. We need to better educate the public about the meaning of our words and of basic principles of science. We fail when we assume that everyone thinks and argues the way that we do. Anyway, I guess I'll copy and post that link over there into the chat room. You can read it yourself. There's a... There's a whole lot of shenanigans going on out there in the science community. And so when basic science tells me one thing, you know, I was taught things in school. When basic science tells me one thing, and then modern science comes along and contradicts what basic science told me that, you know, was a reality, I'd say at that point, I got a choice. I can either get frustrated because I've been deceived all this time, or I can get excited because there's new evidence involved or whatever. Common misconception about science and scientific proof misconceptions about the nature practice of science abound and are sometimes even held otherwise respectful practicing scientists themselves. I have dispelled some of the... Oh, this is enough. Sorry about that. There's another article out there about science. And if you Google up... just Google science and the definition therein. I'll post this link down there so you can go read that. So, let me think here. Maybe I already did that one. Ah! Yep, that was the wrong one. I gotta delete that. No, don't delete all. Okay, let me see. Common misconceptions about science. Gotta copy that link. Select all. Control C. And Control V. Alright, there we go. The Psychology Today blog. That's what that one is. Paste. So I'm pasting links as we go. Anyway, as far as the so-called conspiracy theorists out there about whether we did or didn't go to the moon, they, in reality, according to the way that science is supposed to work, basically have a better case than NASA. That's a shame, ain't it? Well, you know, when I say stuff like that, I get a lot of NASA groupies frustrated because they don't understand. Well, no, you just don't believe nothing, and no matter what you see, you're just not going to believe it. Well, I got to ask you a few questions if, you know, I'm to believe something. You know, we talk about science, you know, science of everything, you know, such as a little example in one of these videos there. There's a... Well, I don't even think I post that video. It's in, actually, it's called the Moon Hoax 2017. I guess I'll copy that link, too. Control C and Control V on your keyboard will give you the cut and paste there. So, Control V in there. That way everybody's got a copy. We're all on the same page. Control V in there. I already done pasted that one. I didn't even know I did it. Alright, well, either way, it's in there. Alright, well, I didn't paste it in that one. Or did I? I gotta get my act together, man. Really. Alright, now it's in the Control V. Now it's in the, also in the... Anyway, go watch these two video links posted in the chat room over there. And they got compelling arguments as to why, in 1969, that we didn't go to the moon. You know, it's really aggravating because I really would have liked to have known that we went to the moon. I mean, that would have been a great accomplishment out there. And maybe somebody did go to the moon, but maybe it was hoaxed because of a different reason. Like, let's say, for example, of all the missions that went to the moon, if anything was to go awry, and these are live broadcasts back in the day, and you can't necessarily have an astronaut dying on the moon right in front of everybody, that would probably not be good for business as far as, you know, NASA gets a lot of money from the U.S. government and probably from other people as well. And so you can't necessarily have people dying on the moon or dying of radiation sickness on the way to the moon through the Van Allen radiation belts and all that kind of stuff. So if... if you want, you could actually make you a little studio and make it look like you're on the moon and do all the things that you would have done if you went and you got your movie stars, which would be like Neil Armstrong and all the big name astronauts, and then you send the guys guinea pigs through the Van Allen radiation belt and you have them land on the moon. That way if they run into aliens and get their face ate off or whatever, nobody will ever see it, out of sight, out of mind, that kind of stuff. You know, I know it sounds crazy, but the whole situation is crazy. I mean, these guys went to the moon in essentially hot water heater and coffee can with some aluminum foil and duct tape wrapped around it, and it's amazing. I rode in a flight simulator one time. It's actually, you get inside this thing and it will go upside down and up and down in all different directions, and so you get in there and you got the control stick, and this is for flying like a jet, right? And so you're in this thing, and when you first start to try to use the controls on there, you find out real fast these controls are like super sensitive. And so this is in an atmosphere. So if you're flying a jet airplane and you're in the atmosphere of the Earth, you got a little bit of friction around you from all the molecules of air and gases or whatever. You got some sort of atmosphere going on. So even in that case, these controls are so super sensitive that if you push it too hard, man, you're going to do a barrel roll or hard right or left like you wouldn't believe, and it just happens so rapidly, and if you're not hip on how to use this thing properly, you'll either crash in the ground or do a loop-de-loop and your plane tear itself up or whatever from the centrifugal force. So, you got to really carefully, that's almost like, steering with a feather, and then once you get that down and just know that all you got to do is basically make a tiny motion to get it to go left or right or up or down, then you can get control of this thing. And so I did pretty good in that flight simulator once I realized what was going on, which didn't take me long because I was upside down for a while. And then I figured it out, got everything under control, and then I realized all I had to do is just barely move to go left or right and up and down. And if I wanted to turn a hard right, I knew exactly where to come back to bring it back up to the, top again. And so, if you think about that, flying in atmosphere would be a whole lot simpler than flying out there in space with pretty much the same kind of controls. One of the things they talk about in the conspiracy thing is that these rockets for the moon lander were pushing out 10,000 pounds of thrust. Now, 10,000 pounds of thrust in a weightless environment, and, one tiny, twitch of the hand, and boy, I'll tell you what, you'd be spinning out of control. And so you're getting ready to land on the moon, and the moon only has, what, 1/6 of the gravity of the Earth, according to science? And so you got a 10,000-pound thrust underneath you. What's to keep you from shooting back off into space the moment you fire that thing up? Now, the conspiracy theorists also say that rockets wouldn't work in space because there's nothing for the rocket to thrust on. So, you got to use the scientific method. Figure this thing out. Put something in the vacuum. Try it out. Cody over there at Cody's lab, he did a little experiment of putting something in the vacuum to see if he can get forward thrust and stuff. And it looked like he did inside there. But nonetheless, you're talking about several trips to the moon. No accidents. Nobody accidentally spun out of control because they're in a weightless environment. It's not the same as flying a jet on the Earth because the Earth has atmosphere. So, they were really good at what they did, and they were really lucky that nobody got hurt. And if anybody did get hurt, and NASA, basically uses pre-recorded fake moon landing deals in case somebody got hurt so nobody got blamed for it, then, you would never even know the true names of the real astronauts, even if they did land on the moon. It's crazy. It's just flat out crazy. That's all there is to it. You know, as a young man, I was born in 1965, and I was pretty young during the moon landing, but it was all exciting, and used to have a little model rocket and talked about going into space when I got older and watched Star Trek and then later on Star Wars. Well, I think I missed Buck Rogers in there. Buck Rogers was kind of first. And Stephen Gibbons says, don't mention the conspiracy thing. We're going to get the alphabet soup guys all up in here. Yeah, that's the truth. You start talking bad about NASA, and then that's when all the alphabet soup guys come rolling in. We got to say hi to them anyway. Hi, guys. How's it going out there? Look, the whole thing about it is, when you want to try to get down to the truth is, there are people in the scientific community that have pretty much sold their soul to the devil, as far as I'm concerned. You know, when basic science says one thing, and modern mainstream science says completely the opposite thing, and then they're teaching everybody as if it was fact, then it gets frustrating. You know, like I said, I would have loved to know that we really went to the moon. And I say we because it wasn't me. I wasn't there. I would just say humanity. Okay, humanity went to the moon. They sent men to the moon and they jumped around there and they played golf and planted flags and left a bunch of junk on the surface of the moon and such. And here we are today, and there's actually a conspiracy theory out there that says that, wait a second, maybe we didn't go to the moon. And they had like I said, they had compelling evidence in both of these documentaries that I posted in the chat room on there. And there was a couple other ones that I watched as well where they point out some of NASA's photos and how things look so, look like baling wire and shower curtains and aluminum foil and maybe some mylar or something, things that just weren't straight. They were kind of looked like some kid put this thing together. So you're telling me that we basically put all this stuff on a rocket, we set it up, and the stages all separated. They went way across the space and through the Van Allen radiation belts and separated the the control module with the lunar lander, and then turned around and locked the lunar lander up to the control module, opened the hatch, and allowed somebody to crawl through inside there. Two astronauts went in and one stayed behind, and then they sealed everything back up. And then they decoupled these things and sealed it up again, and then went on down to the surface with a 10,000-pound thrust rocket, landed on the moon without kicking up much dust or creating a crater with a 10,000-pound thrust, didn't throw dust all over everything. And see, here's the thing, the pictures, they don't show no dust on the feet of it. They don't show big crater underneath it or anything like that. And so when your average Joe looks at this and they use common sense and basic science, well, then they're saying, well, hey, we never went to the moon. It was a hoax. The whole thing was a hoax. All right, so did we or didn't we? If you're going to talk about the truth, then you're going to talk about science, real science, not pseudoscience or any of the modern mainstream theoretical hoodoo voodoo version of what they believe is or isn't. Actual real science, physics and stuff, like a 10,000-pound thrust rocket blowing on a dusty moon Digging a big crater and kicking dirt up in a weightless environment, seems like some of that dirt probably would have left the moon, because it's, you know, only a sixth of the gravity. It would have kicked it way up there. And you'd think that an astronaut would have been able to jump halfway off the moon, you know, on that type of gravity after being used to Earth's gravity and such. But there were a whole lot of inconsistencies. And if it was a case that we really did go to the moon as humanity, but they didn't film it for whatever reason, such as maybe when you're on the moon and you're trying to transmit information back to the Earth, and all that radiation in between you and the Earth is causing the static to be so bad, it's bad for TV, because nobody wants to sit around and watch a snowy picture of anything going on. And so maybe they just said, well, okay, we'll send them up there, and if they make it back, then we'll tell everybody about it. If they don't make it back, then we'll just count it as, what's that word in war whenever, doggone it, I can't remember. Collateral damage, that's it. Yeah, we lost about 100 astronauts trying to get them on the moon, and then we got one or two on there, and they had some problems with the suits, and they're still laying up there on the moon somewhere. So, yeah, that's how that went. That's why we had to record what we did in order to show. Anyway, I know people probably believe I'm a NASA hater, but I'm not. I'm not a NASA hater. I'm just a guy that likes to ask a lot of questions. I want the truth about everything. You know, they probably think I can't handle the truth, but nonetheless, I just want the truth about everything. Did we or did we not go up to the moon? And if we did, why aren't some of these technologies being utilized in solving the so-called energy crisis of the world? You know, there's some pretty impressive technology that went into the moon landing, if indeed it actually occurred. You know, everything out there in science is, theoretical, man. It's just, if you want the truth about something, you do use the scientific method. You test it, you see how it works, and basically if it reoccurs, it's repeatable, then, you might even be able to go as far as throwing a little bit of theory in there why you believe it works, and then, call it one of the laws of physics. But then if you're going to go teach those same laws of physics and theory in school, you have to make sure that everybody knows that which portions are theoretical. Because there are no proofs in science. Proofs exist only in mathematics and logic, not in science. Mathematics and logic are both closed, self-contained systems of proposition, whereas science is empirical and deals with nature as it exists. Now, I just read that right out of another article that says common misconceptions of science. There you go. I think I posted that one in there. Let me go look and see if I posted that one in there. Let me see here. No, I thought I posted that one. There it is. Let me think. Yep, it's posted in there. There's a link. Go read that article as well. It's pretty interesting. Anyway, when it comes down to science, it's theoretical. It's supposed to be based on the scientific method, which you test it and you see how what reactions you get and that kind of stuff. And then you start teaching this in school. So when you teach it in school and you tell everybody that because the science guy had a piece of paper like Stephen mentioned, then that means he knows more than you, and you just got to listen to him, and don't listen to your own eyes or your own experiments or anything like that. Science has already done the work for you, so believe what you're told, and that's it. I don't like that method. My method is you think outside the box, you test the theories, and you see what can and cannot be done. If in 1969, with the crummiest technology, that man stepped foot on the moon not once but multiple times and played golf up there and took some little cars and rode around on the moon, and here we are in the year 2017 and we haven't taken that technology to its maximum potential, well, then I'd say that maybe something isn't right. Something stinks. You know, I've seen a lot of stuff out there. Steven said, beside the question from the original poster of the video, who zoomed out the camera, tilted it up to the... Yeah, that's a good question. When Neil Armstrong took his very first step on the moon, and when they were exiting the moon, who was panning the camera when it was going on? Who was filming his footsteps off the moon? Now somebody'd say, oh, well, you know, they sent a camera ahead of time and set it down perfectly and it didn't get blown over by the 10,000 pound thrust, or there was an arm on the side of the lander that had a camera attached to it, or whatever. There, maybe the camera was already baling wired or duct taped to the leg of the deal, and he got to jump off of that and land on the moon. Alright, I might have been born at night, but it wasn't last night, and so when things don't seem to add up, I ask the questions. If it's the year 2017, and we landed on the moon in 1969, and NASA's been getting millions of dollars, if not billions of dollars, probably even up into trillions of dollars, who knows? You gotta ask why would NASA go through the trouble of faking things, and how would they get by with it with all these people involved? Well, there's a word called compartmentalization or something like that. Which essentially, excuse me, everything's on a need-to-know basis. If you're the radio man, all you have to know about is the radio. You don't have to know what's going on in the next room. You don't have to know anything more than your job. If your job is to watch this machine, and it shows the heartbeat of a supposed astronaut, all you got to do is watch that heartbeat. All you know is that you were told that we were going to the moon, and you need to watch this guy's heartbeat, and if his heartbeat starts getting crazy, then you need to shout out and say something isn't right. But other than that, you ain't got no technical expertise of all the mathematics and calculations and what it took for the computer and how to rewire or anything like that. I think it was Apollo 13 or something like that that they had a problem with, and they had to basically jerry-rig a thing to clean the carbon out of the air so the people didn't suffocate inside there, and then make it back safely to the Earth, that kind of stuff. So they didn't actually get to land. They were up there, they getting ready to go through the process, something went awry, and so they had to fix it and get everybody back alive, that kind of deal. Well, anyway, so I got a lot of questions, and I can't get the answers that I need. You know, there's only one way to test going to the moon. I mean, you build a rocket, and you test it, and you see if you can actually get there. And then if you get there, can you actually survive? And then once you get on the moon, can you get back off of it again? That kind of stuff. But they did a really good job back in the day, because I can't remember exactly how many men actually walked on the moon. It seems to me it was quite a few. And nobody died on the moon. Or even on the way to the moon. With the exception of in the atmosphere. I think there were three, one of them of which basically... Gus Grissom, I believe it is. He hung a lemon on side the ship, and wasn't too much longer after that during a test on the ground. Him and Chafee and another astronaut inside there got burned up inside of a pressurized oxygen-filled capsule. And so, you know, they say dead men tell no tales kind of thing. So with that said, was NASA involved in murder as well? Were the people that were trying to hide the shenanigans, were they involved? The other new conspiracy, I guess, was that the Russians knew all along that we didn't go to the moon, and that their top dogs were in with our top dogs, and they were all involved with why we did or didn't go to the moon. Oh, man. Doggone it. Got me a cough going on here. Sorry about that. All right, so you sit down and you look at all this. Science gives me a headache, man. And that's one of the reasons why I call it mad science. You don't tell me one thing and then turn around and try to prove to me something else. And I'm not going to believe everything that's told to me just because it was told to me by whoever had a piece of paper or educated or whatever. If it don't look right, if it stinks, then I'm going to ask some questions. And so, I asked the question, is science, is it what you can prove or is it theoretical shenanigans? Well, they got theories on global warming and climate change and climate disruption and whatever it's going to be next week when the math don't add up. And so, I guess on their case, science is whatever you can make up. And since it's a theory is not necessarily a lie, it's actually what you believe is going on due to your observations out there, then anyone can have a theory. And so my theory is, they wanted to keep their money, and they wanted people to believe that we went to the moon, and so they pulled some shenanigans in order to make this look plausible. And it wasn't later on to history when technology finally caught up and people were able to really look in depth and start to see anomalies that probably should not occur. The flag waving on the moon was one of them, but they, you know, the apologists always find it don't matter what you find. You find an anomaly, you know, why is this shadow and that shadow involved when there was supposed to be only the sunlight, so there should be only, you know, one direction of shadows? Why is there extra shadows in there when they didn't take no extra light sources with them? So, if you see that and you ask that, then they'll find a reason why, you know, this is possible or whatever. And then the man's hammering on something and you can hear it, which we're told that space is a vacuum. And so there should be no atmosphere in the on the moon. And so sound should not be able to travel. So you wouldn't be no sound banging on stuff. You wouldn't hear it. And if without the communications inside the helmet with the atmosphere inside there, then sound wouldn't have a way to travel and you wouldn't even be able to hear them anyway. There's a whole bunch of different anomalies involved in that scenario. And so, when people see these things and they ask the question, suddenly they become tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorists. Questions such as, doggone it, had a question on my head. What was it? Hate it when that happens. There's tons and tons of questions on that episode. And I had a good one in my mind. What was it? I don't know. Maybe, see, like I said, science has given me a headache. Things that shouldn't be are, and then things that, that's vice versa, nonetheless. So, if you're out there in space, you're on the moon, and there ain't supposed to be no atmosphere. Things shouldn't be waving. If you're in a vacuum, according to basic science, there's no atmosphere for sound to travel through. If you are only 1/6 gravity and you should be able to jump a lot higher than you normally would have been able to jump because, you ain't got as much gravity. And it goes on and on. The battery technology that they had back in the day must have been pretty impressive because they stayed anywhere from 2 to 4 hours out on the moon's surface with essentially a, what do you call it, their own personal spacecraft. And then the temperature differences between the temperature and the sunlight, which could go to over to 250 or so degrees Fahrenheit, instantaneously in the sunlight, or minus in the shade or whatever. These things are really impressive because they were able to keep them warm and cool when necessary and be able to transfer heat at such a rate that, it was done efficiently. Nonetheless, there weren't no steam coming out of it. There weren't no venting in the suits. And so it just goes on and on and on of all the different questions that, if you use the scientific method and you use common sense and logic, should not have been possible in 1969. But who knows? If you look up some of the old Black Ops airplanes and you find out some of these airplanes that they just look out of place in time, they shouldn't have been there. The Blackbird is one of them. I can't remember what the actual date of it, but if you look at that bird, as opposed to the airplanes that were in circulation that everybody knew about at the time, there was some pretty impressive technology going on there. And the doggone stealth, it used to be a secret project, and then suddenly, it's out there in the deal, and, it can basically get around radar. It's hard to pick up on radar. According to some people, it might even be impossible. There's other things that maybe NASA was involved in, and the companies out there that did all the, basically experimental aircraft and stuff. But in 1969, there shouldn't have been certain things that basically NASA said we did. Look at the computer system alone out there. Modern day cell phone puts the computer that would have been the guidance system on the spacecraft to shame. I mean, you're basically looking like the difference between an old antique Texas Instrument calculator as opposed to a modern day supercomputer that you hold in your hand that has built-in photography and stuff like that, built-in HD camera, whatever. They might as well have been going to the moon with an abacus, one of those little things that you slide the beads over there and you make the counts and the calculations and decipher your code or whatever. That's the difference between that and modern day cell phone technology. And then when you got scientists coming out and saying, before we get to the moon, we got to be able to figure out a way to get through the Van Allen radiation belt safely. So we only go so high up into basically low Earth orbit or whatever. And we got to learn how to get through there. And then you had the other science guy from NASA saying something like, we destroyed that technology. We lost it, and it'd be too painstaking to build it all back up to go to the moon again. You know how stupid that sounds? We're supposedly went to Pluto. We're supposedly got probes out into space. And we supposedly have rovers on Mars that are still functioning, by the way. And we supposedly landed on an asteroid. And we supposedly did a whole lot of stuff according to what NASA's told us, and we still don't have pictures of the planet we're standing on. It's all CGI stuff. And that all sounds like some sort of conspiracy theory thing going on, but it's a observation. That's it. That's what you're supposed to do with science. You're supposed to observe. You're supposed to see how things are working. You're supposed to make opinions and theories and try to figure out what's what. Well, I'm saying if we did all this other stuff, and we did it back in 1969, where's our George Jetson lifestyle today, here in the year 2017? Where's our flying cars? You know, all that kind of stuff. And why ain't we been back to the moon? Oh, wait a second. The NASA guy said we destroyed all that technology. He also said that it'd be painstaking to build all that technology back. But as I'm looking at the photos from the day, I think I got some of every bit of junk they slapped that clunker together. We can build one in my backyard. Go back up there and see what's up. That kind of stuff. Russians didn't go. Must have been reasons why they didn't go. And, China supposedly sent a probe up there. A rover. So I'm just trying to figure this all out. If we did what we said back in 1969, then why is it that everybody's using bogus science to try to prove something that is not going to be the truth, but is going to make somebody a heck of a lot of money? The whole thing boils down to money. Everyone in the scientific community want to keep their grants, and so they keep the secret. The secret is that NASA done been playing a lot of shenanigans. The government been playing a lot of shenanigans. A lot of tax dollars have gone into paying for these shenanigans, and they want to keep the gravy train rolling, and so they keep up the shenanigans. Somebody tell me where I'm wrong. You know, I don't want to hear what you think occurred. I want to hear what you can prove. Proof is in the pudding, kind of like Stephen said a little while ago. When a scientist sees a guy like me doing an experiment that works, and he says, well, the laws of physics say that don't work, so that's not possible. But you're sitting here observing it, and it is working, so your job now is to tell me why it's working. And why it shouldn't be working according to your laws of physics. See, that's the whole thing. All these theories, when new evidence comes forward, these theories can be readjusted. You can look back at them. Nobody knows what gravity is. Everyone says that the gravity's like magic. You know, it's theoretical science. Everything out there is theoretical. Everything to do with science is theoretical. You use a scientific observation, you run tests, and then you turn around and you use your best common sense and logic and try to formulate the best theory possible to explain what nature's already been doing. That's how it works. But if you utilize that knowledge, and then you look back at something that was supposedly one of the most amazing accomplishments in history, utilizing that knowledge, and then you find something out of place, like a big stain on a photo, or somebody had spilled some orange juice on it, whatever. Well, if that was spilled on it out there in the vacuum, then one would have to assume that if that orange juice hit that vacuum, that, you know, there would be some really interesting effects going on that would have got caught on tape or something like that. And so, there's a whole lot of explaining to do, NASA. You know, I call them the No Actual Science Association. The NASA groupies hate me for it. Because everything that they tell you in science about watching and observing and using logic and mathematics and everything to formulate a theory that you can share with the scientific community, it all stops at the door of the sheepskin, so to speak. If you got that diploma, then you get to say what is theory and what is science and what isn't science. You can say what is pseudoscience. But if you ain't got that, then you just shut up and sit down. Know your place and shut your face. That's what science tells the people these days. Patty in the chat room says there is no conclusive evidence on the flat earth theory. None of the conclusions given have been scientifically proven. However, there is a video which does hold scientific data that shows the earth is not flat. I will find it. And there's another one right there. The flat earth. Alright, I don't care whether the earth is flat or whether it's round or dodecahedron or triangle or octagon or whatever. I don't care. But as far as the moon hoax, those guys have plausible observations and common sense and their best information presented. NASA just says, oh, well, those guys are stupid. Don't listen to them. They didn't come back with no debunking, rebuttal, and proof and evidence of what they said. As far as the shape of the earth, whether the earth is flat or whether it's round or whatever, unless you get far enough back to actually physically see for yourself, unless the scientific calculations are actually done by many people involved where it's irrefutable, then, you know, how would you ever know? Seriously. Now, there's a mathematical equation that says for every so many miles, I think it's like 6 miles, there's like 6 inches of drop, and then it kind of doubles or whatever, so every time down until you get to a certain point at, you know, several 20 miles or more, you shouldn't be able to see certain objects, and then these guys are able to zoom in and see these certain objects. Well, that was a test. Now, maybe it's a case of the earth is a heck of a lot larger than they said, so that mathematical equation would be stretched out a bit, whatever. But the folks out there in the flat earth community are using science and observation and common sense, and those who are trying to debunk them are using, oh, you're just stupid because you don't know about science or physics. So, look, how are you supposed to get down to the truth of everything if the scientific theory or whatever, the scientific method isn't used in anything, and all you get is told that you're stupid if you don't pull the toe the line, so to speak. So, is the earth flat? I don't know. I don't care. I don't care if it's round. I do care if we did or didn't go to space, because there was a whole lot of money involved in that deal. And see, there's nothing... There's only one possible thing about the earth being flat that intrigues me. I mean, I like the debate on both sides of the fence. I like to hear what the flat earthers come up with. I like to hear what the ball earthers come up with. I like to sit there on the fence, so to speak, and see them thinking outside the box and trying to find a way to prove or disprove each other using their minds. And so that's the interesting portion. But, you know, there's people that believe that there's a huge dome over the top of the Earth, that maybe we're in a simulation, that the Earth may be hollow, and there may be a world underneath our world or whatever. And so, let me see here. There was a test done in the video above using lasers and telescopes, scientific observation. So Patty's posted a video over here in the chat room that, let me click on it real quick and try to stop it before the commercial starts. Flat Earth Satanic Psyop Crushed by Discovery Channel. Oh. Well, I don't know, man. I'm kind of leery of every single mainstream and every single alternative media out there. I'm not sure. I'm going to have to be involved in this measurement. But nonetheless, it doesn't matter to me whether the Earth is flat or not. Whether it's whatever shape it's in, it's what shape it's in that bothers me. And so I'm not out here trying to convince people that the Earth is flat, nor am I trying to convince them that we did or didn't go to the moon. But I'm saying, if I'm questioning something that isn't... Look, when you're looking at something, and you were told that in a vacuum certain things are possible, but then certain things are occurring, when you look at things that just don't add up, and you say, okay... Let me ask you a question. I got a cell phone, and every so often that doggone thing, the battery runs down. These guys were out there on the moon, and they were drawing a heck of a lot more current and amps and watts than my cell phone's drawing. How is it that they stayed out there so well? What type of batteries did they use? And I will get all kinds of answers, such as anything from "you're stupid" to "look it up yourself, you just want somebody else to do your research for you" or whatever. And I'm like, what? Really? No, I'm just want to know what kind of battery. Some say it's a fuel cell, and some say it was a different type of battery. And so I want to know what kind of batteries they had, and how they were able to get so much work out of these batteries. Because I'm in alternative energy. I want to know what was the whole scientific method by which they used to keep these life support systems running for this long, when, you know, my cordless drill will run for probably 30 minutes straight and then it's going to die and I got to recharge it. It probably would have been a little bit easier to believe if it would have had like maybe a solar panel on the backpack so that it's putting juice back into the system, whatever. Patty says, well, the Earth, according to some, is square because the Bible mentions the four corners. Anyone? I always say that too, the four corners of the Earth. The four points of the compass or something like that. All points of the compass. I don't know. Anyway, if the guys and gals are out there and they believe the world is flat, and they go out and they use the scientific method, and they produce evidence according to the scientific method and mathematics, and they present that to the scientific community, and they test it, and the scientific community agrees, then maybe they'll have a change in the school books. But the way it seems to work out these days is no matter what you test, and even when you question whether we did or didn't go to the moon, I know everybody wants to believe we went. All right, look, hey, that's a great accomplishment. That's awesome. But if there were shenanigans involved that made it look like there was a conspiracy, then you can understand why there's a such thing as a conspiracy theory. Patty says, if we cannot believe in science and refuse to consider the applications of physics, magnetics, etc. that are measurable, then what are we left with? Suppositions and contrivances of opinion. There has to be some median, some way to propose answers. What would that be? Disbelieve in science. Well, I don't disbelieve science. I believe science. If science was basically the way that I was taught, where you take and you observe and you test, like the battery example that I gave. You take a nickel and a penny, any two dissimilar metals for that matter, and you put that nickel and that penny down into a lemon or any fruit with citric acid or any type of acidic fruit or whatever. It even works with potatoes as well. But nonetheless, we took the lemon, we put the penny and the nickel down inside there, and then we actually was able to measure a volt, and then we discussed on how this was actually occurring. We essentially made a chemical battery. And those were hands-on physical observation that could be repeated over and over again. And so that was science. That's what I believe science to be. And so if you're telling me that we did one thing, and I'm seeing something other, and then I'm not able to question why it is that when I'm being told this, I'm seeing that, and then being basically scolded or mocked for trying to say. See? And see, Patty said, I'm on the fence with the moon, but I have not seen conclusive evidence to discount it, although I have seen some very questionable evidence that we did. And Stephen said, the Flat Earth Society has members all around the globe. This was actually on their website until pointed out a few years ago, still making me giggle. Anyway, look. The moon landing, I'm not saying that somebody didn't land on the moon. Alright? I'm only saying that whenever I ask questions, the ridicule begins. And if you question whether or not the earth is flat or whatever, there's two sides of the fence. You see this all the time. It don't matter. On the moon hoax or the moon landing, whatever you want to say, there's two sides of it. People are arguing over whether we did or didn't. They're arguing over whether the earth is or isn't flat. I'm just standing there asking the stupid questions of, all right, when we went, what type of batteries did we use? How did this thing work? That's what I want to know. And from my scientific observation, after being flying in a flight simulator and seeing how it actually functions and how sensitive the controls are, then I'm going to ask another question. When these astronauts were in space and they didn't have to fight against the Earth's gravity, and they were out in a vacuum, and they didn't have all the friction of the atmosphere, there ain't no room for error whatsoever in that type of scenario. And so they flew out into space, they separated the command module and the lunar lander, and then they reconnected them in space, and then they turned around and put two astronauts in, one astronaut stayed behind, and then they went and landed on the moon with a 10,000 pound thrust rocket that they were able to control perfectly down to the landing site, and certain things didn't add up in the process as my teachings of what people had taught me in science had said would happen if physics was to be a reality and work as it was said. So you got a 10,000 pound rocket going down, landing down, I think it's like 7,000 pounds or something like that, lander that is landing with a couple guys on it and don't kick up as much dust as one would believe in a really low gravity vacuumed atmosphere kind of situation. Should have been a big old hole there, that kind of deal or something. Anyway, it's not the point of whether we did or didn't. It's the point that you can't question nothing. You can't think outside the box. The scientific community won't allow you to make your own observations, even though that's the whole purpose of science, is that you make your own observations. You test it, you retest it, it's repeatable. And you come up with it and you present it to the scientific community, and for that you are ostracized and ridiculed. That kind of thing. Alright, so I asked the questions. The beginning of the show, science, is it what you can prove or theoretical shenanigans? The things that I learned in science tell me that we have every single bit of information necessary to do some really amazing things. And that utilizing all the resources available to us, we should be so much further advanced, and there shouldn't be people starving in the world, and we should have pretty much all the free energy available by nature being tapped into to do the work that we want done, such as heating and cooling and cooking and water filtration and all that kind of stuff. NASA figured out how to take three men from the Earth all the way to Moon. And if you go look at the command module, and you look at everything that was taken with them, the service module and the lunar lander, and how it was all set on the Saturn III or Saturn rocket or whatever, and you see how they actually got from point A to point B. And keep in mind, you're going to be in this thing for several days going out and several days coming back. You're going to have to go to the bathroom. They're going to have to resolve that issue. You're going to be breathing in oxygen and exhaling carbon dioxide. So there's got to be that issue. You're going to have food. And you're going to have a place for them to be able to sleep and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Now, I don't know if you've ever went traveling in a boat's wagon to California, but it gets a little cramped in there after a while. So you got three men inside this capsule flying through space to boldly go where no man has ever been gone before, and everybody stays calm and cool and collect, and the place ain't stinking to beat all heck because of old sweaty feet or whatever. And they made it. But NASA was able to cram everything inside, basically the equivalence of a boat's wagon. A little bit less, maybe give or take, a few feet or more. I think they said it was a, and that was ironic because they said it was a 6x6x6 square foot space inside there. Now, that's kind of freaky in itself. But, nonetheless, they crammed all this stuff inside this capsule, took these men through the harsh, deep, dark space, separated the vehicle, spun it around, reconnected it, transferred a couple guys, put them, closed it all back up, landed on a deal, and basically walked around and drove around on the moon, and then, you know, launched off of that, reconnected, went all the way back, everything went well. And they did this multiple times. And here we are in the year 2017, and I can't even keep my cell phone battery charged up. And I can't call more than 5 miles unless I'm near the repeater system. Sometimes cell phone service stinks. Go down that valley, your cell phone dies out on you. But they was able to blast a signal clear to the moon and back. I'm just saying. I'm not a flat earther. I'm not a ball earther. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm not one of the people who believe we did or didn't go to the moon. I'm a realist asking common sense questions about observations using the scientific method and everything else that I've been taught that science had to do with. And so when I see things that don't fit, I'm going to ask about them. People don't like it when you do that. People get defensive. When I talk to some of my friends about the flat earth, boy, they come unglued. When I talk to people about whether or not we did or didn't go to the moon, people come unglued. They start quoting the books. They start cussing and raising a ruckus because you don't want people questioning what you were taught in school. I got my high school diploma, so, you know, everything I taught, that was the truth, right? Well, according to scientific theory, if you find new evidence and you present the new evidence, then you may have to revisit that theory. That's why I call it mad science. Nobody knows what gravity is for real. Nobody has ever seen or photographed the electron. Nobody knows how far space expands or wherever. Nobody knows where it all began. Nobody was there when the Big Bang or creation occurred. Everything is all theoretical. Everything that you believe, everything that you've been taught, is all based on theoretical observation. And so if you're willing to think outside the box, and you're willing to question the norm, and you're willing to question the school books and the history books, and formulate your own opinion without arguing over it, then mad science is the place you want to be. Because the whole purpose was to get down to the truth of it all. If we have free energy, if the earth is so powerful that it's making waves out there, that force could be utilized to produce electricity for everyone, and we know that the wind would do the same thing, and that the sun would do the same thing, and that all the things that the earth is doing, the thermal vents and even seismic activity and so on, is enough to produce all the energy necessary to basically keep everybody living in comfort. And we're in the year 2017, and a guy using scientific observation and method and stuff is sitting here saying, look, why are we still hearing about people starving to death in this world? Why is there still wars over resources? Why is there still people sitting around telling you how stupid you are for asking what kind of battery was used in 1969? I personally don't care whether we did or didn't go to the moon, and I personally don't care whether the earth is or isn't flat. It's the shape that the world is in that bothers me. It's the fact that people are suffering needlessly when we have the vast amount of resources available to us, and you can't even get past the mainstream scientists, because the mainstream scientists done sold their soul to the devil, saying that, the earth is heating up due to carbon emissions, and the debate is over, it's solved, it's resolved. No, it ain't solved. I was told when I was in school that CO2 was 2 oxygen atoms connected to 1 carbon atom, which makes it heavier than oxygen. I also know that at 10,000 feet is the highest that you can go without supplemental oxygen. And so somebody has to tell me how it is that at a certain level, the oxygen level begins to deplete because not even oxygen can defy the law of gravity. But yet somehow or another, magically, CO2 is able to defy their laws of physics and get trapped into the Earth's atmosphere and cause the planet to heat up due to infrared, ultraviolet, or whatever. They want to charge me a tax to breathe. The Environmental Protection Agency declared CO2 as environmental waste or toxic waste, whatever. It's all become pure ridiculousness. And so I guess from here on out, we're just going to keep on warring over resources. And we're just going to keep on watching people starve. We're going to keep on watching people riot and loot and pillage and do all the crazies that they like to do. We're going to keep on watching people stand out there shout save the trees with a wooden stick and a paper sign. Science is theory. Religion is theory. Everything is theory because none of us have all the answers to nothing. The best that we can do is try to be the best, do the best that we can with the knowledge that we got available. I know for a fact that if I take a lemon and a nickel and a penny and I put those three things together, that I get essentially a chemical battery. I can explain the reaction that is going on in there from what I was taught in science. And even some of that is still theoretical. Science has philosophy involved in it. Science has basic theory. That's it. Because we don't know 100%. We don't have the terminology in some cases. We don't know what things are. We have to name them. A new effect that's occurred. And just like, the Big Bang Theory, unless you were there, unless you were a witness to observe exactly what occurred, then you could only theorize by the observations made to you in science that there was this huge Big Bang that, pow, made the entire world, the universe and such. And the same thing would apply on the creation side. Unless you were there, unless you were able to observe, then all you have is what you've been taught through history, whether it be science, whether it be religion, or whatever. Nonetheless, once again, none of us know everything for certain. There are no proofs in science. There are no proofs in religion. We're just doing the best we can with the observations that we've made and everything we've been taught. And so if I've been taught certain things as science and they don't add up, then I have the right to question what it is that I'm seeing. Why is it this happening instead of that, when you said that if this was occurring, that this should not be possible? So there you go. You know, science said that photosynthesis was the way that that plants took the sunlight and they utilized the carbon, the CO2 that we breathe out and the animals breathe out, and they basically scrub off the carbon and then release the fresh oxygen into the air. So we have a symbiotic relationship between plants and us. When we inhale and exhale, we feed each other. That's what nature does. It's a self-contained biosphere of epic proportions. But nonetheless, when you got mainstream scientist or pseudoscientist or whatever, people who basically really didn't pay very close attention in science, that overlooked photosynthesis and the process by which it was taught that that's how we breathe. And you get people that realize that they can make money off of other people's ignorance, then that's what you get. You get CO2 emissions. You get global warming / climate change. You get somebody in a garbage can with aluminum foil and duct tape saying that they was on the moon. Oh, man. Let's see here. Where are we at in there? Patty says, science's theory is based on theory from the very origin of the universe. And she said, yes, CO2, the culprit, even though the plants need it to survive. But if we pay money, then the climate will fix itself. Yeah, Mother Nature needs some more cash. But going green using renewable systems is not acceptable, and you can be fined for growing and selling organic. The state and the city codes will not allow you to be more responsible by using these proven eco-safe systems, and will fine you and force you back onto the oil grid. But the more money you pay, the better you will make the earth. That's it. That's why they can stand out there with a wooden stick and a paper sign saying save the trees. And that's why the government can charge you taxes and all that kind of stuff. And that's why, basically all the people out there who say that you want to go green and then you go off the grid with the solar panels, and then the government wants to fine you because you're not buying oil, which is giving them tax money, both via carbon and the actual sale of the oil itself. And so we live in a world that's backwards, upside down, shenanigans. I'm saying that's it. The whole doggone science community is full of shenanigans. The government's full of shenanigans, and the people out there in the world are full of shenanigans as well, because they're buying into this stuff and they're arguing whether the earth is or isn't flat without going out there doing the scientific method and proving or disproving. You can't go halfway and say the earth is flat. You can't go halfway and say the earth is round. You have to go all the way. You have to go as far as science will take you and make it so that it is a completely and utterly resolved issue. Well, look, we both went together. We flew around. We found out everything. We took all the measurements. We got that resolved. And so now we're moving on. And as far as what happened in 1969, whether we did or didn't go to the moon, I still got questions about battery technology and other such things like that. But, you know, NASA said that the tapes got erased, and so they don't have that information anymore. And the science man from NASA said that we destroyed that technology. And it would be a too painful of a experience to rebuild it all to actually go back to the moon, and so we can't do that. And so the excuses and the shenanigans continue. Yeah, every time your cow farts, you're gonna have to pay taxes. Tax per cow fart. What about all the other animals in the world? They don't fart. Nope, no. If the bear farts in the wood, does it stink? If you're not there, how would you know? I don't know. It's like an old tree falling in the woods. Does it make a sound? Well, people will say, sure it does. If physics says it's going to make a sound. And I'm like, well, if you're not there, how are you going to know? Period. But they will quote science and physics until they're blue in the face and argue with you that doggone tree is going to make a big loud bang in the woods. Do I think it would? Well, science says, yeah, certain things occur. These would make like an acoustic wave and a vibration, which we call sound. And yeah, I believe it would. But my belief isn't going to prove it to anyone, because if I'm not there to record the sound, because the question was, if nobody is there to hear it, does it make a sound? And if nobody's there to hear it, then nobody could even know. It's like a whole question, unless you put a doggone camera in your refrigerator, does the light go out when you shut the door? Maybe it does in your refrigerator. Maybe my refrigerator has a faulty switch on it. So if I put a camera in there and I shut the door and the light stays on, I'm wasting electricity. What do you think? I say that common sense is the new science. Common sense and observation and logic is the new science. And I call that mad science. Mad science is that if you see it and you question it and you test it and everyone wants to dispute it, well, they got to bring their evidence, not their beliefs, to the table. Show me why it is that this is not working when you're standing there looking at it working. Period. That's the way it works. If I can physically see this thing working, if I can measure it, if I can observe the whole entire process, and I can repeat it using the scientific method, then you as a scientist have the burden of proof to say that it isn't working. Oceans release about 330 gigatons of CO2 per year, so fish farts are worse than cow farts. That explains all the doggone bubbles in the water. All the fish made a jacuzzi. Anyway, somebody want to call in and give me a break here, I would really appreciate it, because I'm doing all the talking. Sure would like to have somebody else's thoughts and views and opinions on this. So if you got Skype and you want to call in on this radio show, add Shaziz as a contact and just call me up. And we'll try to talk through this mess. Science says that some things are possible. Science says that other things aren't possible. Science says that it has theories and all that. But truth isn't about theory. Truth is about proof. Truth is about something that science doesn't do anymore. Honesty, you know, when you get down to, you do an experiment and you show that this is not the way that it's portrayed, or if you were taught certain things in school and you say, well, this is not what I'm observing, then I would say the other side should listen. We could resolve so much in this world if we could just get past the shenanigans. I asked the question, science, is it what you can prove or theoretical shenanigans? Because in today's day and age, you can say things, if you're a scientist, that go against all the things that school has taught kids forever in science. But you can say those kind of things. And if you say those kind of things, and somebody questions it, well, then you're tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy nut, and you didn't listen in school. So, I've pointed out on this show so many times all the different methods by which nature does what nature does, and continue to show over and over again that nature is powerful. Notice I emphasize the powerful. Because if you pay attention what's going on out there, nature has more energy to get more work done than we would ever be able to use in a trillion, trillion, trillion lifetimes. And if you paid attention in science and you understand how certain things work in chemistry, such as, you know, we're all carbon-based entities on this planet we live on, whether it's flat, round, dodecahedron, or whatever, nonetheless, fish have oil in them, people have oil in them, we all have carbon in us, and everything gets recycled into the system, and so you know that certain things, nothing, you can't run out of nothing, because even science says that energy can neither be created nor destroyed. So where does it go? Now see, that was their laws of physics, that their theoretical explanation of energy. When a guy like me steps forward and I say, well, you ain't never going to run out of oil, you ain't never going to run out of water, then you will get the naysayers coming up out the woodwork saying why it is that doomsday is right around the corner and you ain't going to have no water to drink because blah, blah, blah. Well, I studied activated carbon. I studied how to make carbon. Using, you know, things like burnt firewood where you just make the charcoal and you just get it down to that little black portion and you put it back out. Now you got activated carbon, and even using things like wood gasifiers, whenever all the gas is out of the wood, all you're left is carbon. And you take that carbon and you can actually use it to filter water with. And so I studied how to filter water. There's different types of light, like ultraviolet light, that will literally kill off anything biological, such as germs or bacteria or anything like that, parasites inside the water. And so I know with certain types of light, including sunlight, or even complete and utter darkness, that there are certain material. You put water inside a completely black container, as long as it can never get any sunlight, nothing can grow in it. It'll stay fresh forever. And when you say that to people and you talk about how you can actually filter out anything, nature shows you how to filter water, and everyone keeps wanting to say, well, look, you can't drink salt water. Okay. Then go buy yourself a soda with carbon dioxide in it. Hi, Patty. How you doing?
Hey, Chaz.
You know,
what a good show today.
Cool. You know there's CO2 in soda, right?
Oh my gosh, are you kidding me?
Yeah, we're gonna have to have flat soda from here on out.
So we have to be taxed on all the soda that we drink.
Yeah, and they want to make sure you're healthy, so if you drink too much sugar, you got to get taxed as well, the fat boy tax or whatever they call it.
Yeah, this is after. Notice that this is after the fast food restaurant supersized everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. They got you hooked on the supersize, and now you're going to pay.
That's
Isn't
it.
Isn't that just how it always goes, though? I mean, when you're talking about a world in which science is just as likely to be a scam as anything else, but it didn't used to be this way. It didn't used to be to where science was subjective to the corporate rungs, so to speak, you know?
Yeah, and that's what I'm trying to shout out about, is that when I was going to school, I was taught science, real science. All right? And then when I used their real science that I was taught in school that I had to learn in order to earn my diploma so I could get out of school, and I questioned the norm, like, okay, well, if this is happening, and you said that can't possibly happen while this is occurring, then why is this occurring? See what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why I get frustrated and call it mad science.
Well, you know, there's always been contention in science, and that's why peer review was so important.
Yep.
so that the sciences could come together and they could each try to replicate what was done in order to prove the theory right. Today, that's not done.
No, they use shenanigans nowadays. I mean, if the person that you're having to peer review your work, if he's got something on the line, such as a grant or his reputation that you might potentially, like Einstein, if I disprove Einstein's theory of relativity, it might make Einstein a little bit upset because, hey, man, I was cool there for a while. You see what I mean?
Well, yeah, and not only that, though, now we have corporations leading scientific discovery.
Yeah.
Which, if we don't see the issue that, and the problem there, then we're in trouble. And that's exactly why we have so many people adverse to what science tells us now. That's why we have so many people unwilling to buy the scientific part of it. That's why we have people with the flat earth coming out, because there are inconsistencies today. We can see that science is based on bias now. It's not based on discovery. It's not based on peer corroboration.
Review?
You know, it's simply based on what the agenda is in the corporate sector. What do they want to promote? That's what the only thing that they're going to pay for in discovery. And the universities are funded by the corporations and by the governments. They make their money in their science labs by being granted money to follow these courses. And they have to, you can't accept grant money to find out say the world is flat if they want you to find out it's round.
That's
you can't,
right.
You can't get that money.
Maybe
if
I can get
it. If you want to prove global climate change being caused by man is a farce, then you're not going to get any grant money.
Nope. Maybe I can get a government grant to build the world's longest level, you know, like a spirit level. And make that thing 100 miles long and have people all along the line help hold it up and measure 5 feet on this side of the ground and 5 feet on that side of the ground and see where the bubble is in the center. What do you think?
Well, you know, that video that I posted, I just saw that this morning, and it gave me hope. Because, and yes, it was with the Discovery Channel, but they use scientific methods, alright, to come to their conclusions, and I understand the scientific measure. I understand that lasers are accurate, that these lasers can produce information that is accurate, and that the measurements that they take were done in a scientific manner. So that when I can see it with my eyes, when I can see it being done, then that gives credence. You know, it's like I'm not a scientist, but I do understand science, and I do understand what is accurate and what is not.
Yep.
And so we have these things, but why is the scientific community not coming out with this information? Why are they, in effect, promoting this division between the sciences?
Because as long as it keeps controversy available, then there's always the option for the grants to keep coming.
Exactly.
It's like NASA. Look, NASA could resolve all this.
Yes.
Conspiracy right out of the gate. They have the tools, the technology, and the funding. They could resolve it all in so many different simple fashions. And even the scientific community, you know, here's the thing. When we as the average Joe, who are not classified as, you know, mainstream science, when we want to figure something out, we got to rely on those that have the tools and the technology to do some videos and observations, and then we got to be able to look with a an honest eye, you know, keeping our skepticism and our biases at bay, and take and watch the information presented to us and make us a common sense the deal out when it's all said and done. There's a lot of things in this world that get argued over that, to me, is a complete and utter waste of time. I want the Earth to be round. All right, that's what I want, because I like Star Trek and Star Wars, and I want to see, I want to go to other planets and fly through space and do all the cool stuff I've seen in all the sci-fi movies. You know, I want to be able to do that. That'd be cool. But if it turns out we're in a doggone dome, or a flat plane, or whatever, and space didn't even exist, I'm going to be mad because science has been telling me everything about the universe for all these years, and I don't like to be lied to.
Well, see, this is the thing, is that if we cannot rely on science to give us the truth,
that's right,
then we've gone back to the Dark Ages.
Yeah.
Science is the only way of proving any of this, and if science is co-opted by corporate,
They've been hijacked.
Yes,
that's the sad thing about it. They've been hijacked.
Exactly. So, what is our what do we do?
Our options.
We start our own suppositions. We start our own series of discovery, and we don't have. The not everyone, especially, I'm not talking about you because you're on a different plane. You understand things that I don't. But for the average Joe like me, you know, where we have to put our own, thought process, our own belief system into the mix, then we come back with a biased, result. And so we find ourselves in this division because we don't have science to base it on, because we can't take science for fact anymore.
Well, see,
so this leaves us all confused, except for the people like you who do have this inner working of science, this knowledge, this ability to discern. But you're not being heard.
Well, see,
you're being shut down.
That's right. You know? I'm a heretic in not only the religious community, I'm a heretic in the science community, because I kind of think that somewhere along the middle line is a balance between all of it. Everything out there, nothing in religion can be proven, nothing in science can be proven until we got all the information on the table and we can sit there together and figure this thing out. Until we got all the pieces of the puzzle right before us, everything, including science and religion, are theoretical observations using the scientific method. I believe there's a God. That makes me a heretic in the science community. I believe that science can, using the proper methods of observation, can basically teach us on things that nature's doing. And I believe that watching nature itself is probably the best teacher there is. There's no better teacher than the Mother Earth or creation or whatever, you know. By watching how things actually work and using common sense and logic and things that we were taught back when science really, the word itself meant something, you know, that we can come to conclusions that can actually help us and benefit us to be able to get things done. You see what I mean?
Yeah, and let's go to the moon landing, right? And even to the Mars rover and all of these things. Okay, so science says that we went to the moon. This other faction says, I don't believe you because of these inconsistencies that I have found. So it is science's place to say, here is the proof, undeniable, uncategorically. This is the proof. But they don't do that. And the same things with the Mars you have these, I've seen them online. I am not astrophysicist. I am not, I don't have telescopes. I don't work for NASA and design the rovers or any of this. I don't get the feedback. All I know is what is published. And I've seen on YouTube to where they publish pictures that are supposedly of the Martian structure, the Earth, the Mars itself, the land masses, where they have taken a picture from here on Earth and put it next to it, and it's the same exact landscape.
Yeah.
So I have questions here. Where is your proof, NASA? Where is your proof, the scientific data, the proof that proves to us that this was not a fake picture? Because what I'm looking at is showing me that it is, but they're silent.
That's right. They're silent. That silence, including the government and all the different agencies of the government, and including some of those out there who are, you know, like groupies of NASA and the government or whatever. Nonetheless, if you're seeing something and you're asking about it, and the only answer that they got is you're stupid, or it's ridiculous to say we didn't do this. This is the best scientific deal. They didn't put no kind of this, like when the flat earthers try to prove that the world is flat. They go out and they use whatever logic they can and whatever science they can muster up to try to prove that the earth is flat. They observation or whatever. And on the other side, all they want to do is say how stupid you are. Well, what evidence are you bringing to the table? Put all your best evidence from both sides of all the different conspiracies on the table, and let us all come together with common sense and logic and respect, and let's sort through the mess.
And bring the scientists to the table.
Yeah.
Instead of interviewing a helicopter pilot, which I've seen on the Flat Earthers say, this is a helicopter pilot and he's got all the proof. He didn't have any proof, he only had speculation. He's not a scientist, he hasn't done anything. What I want is science. Show me. You don't belong to a university and you're a scientist. Speak up, stand up. Give me both sides of this equation. Debate it like it's supposed to be done.
Yeah.
And let the people hear from both sides and make that determination. But we don't even get that, Shaziz.
No.
There's no scientist standing up either way.
There's a doggone, they've been saying this for a long time about the whole global warming / climate change / climate disruption or whatever it's going to be next week when the math don't add up.
And, we got Al Gore.
Yeah, they say the debate is over. If there's some people out there that say the debate ain't over, how could the debate be over?
Right, exactly.
Scientific observations.
There are as many scientists standing up on the other side.
Yeah, when new evidence is presented to any theory, no matter what it is, if the evidence is presented to any theory, then the theory now becomes questionable and has to be resolved. Otherwise, it's not science.
I saw a video, and it's on YouTube. I'll try to find it. I've got it in my history, of a man, a scientist, who he is Scandinavian, and he came across some old information, scientific information, I can't remember the name of the scientist, but who was proposing that the sun is actually the reason why our climate differs, that it is, and the Maunder minimums, these mini ice ages, actually affect the earth and the climate on earth, and how the clouds themselves are created in order when these minimums come. And I watched this whole scientific study that he did over 10 years. Okay? He studied this with a group of scientists, independent scientists, and they had every bit of information documented. They showed unequivocally over and over and over and over again how through history this has been the same, that the earth and the sun are so interconnected that these climate changes are simply due to the earth and the sun and it being able to prevent these ions from coming into the earth, usually from the whole solar system. I can't go into the total jargon, but I'll find that video. But anyway, after 10 years, they wrote their paper. It took them 4 years to get someone to publish it. It was accepted. And then all of a sudden, the climate engineers came up and had his paper taken away. And even though he went to these lectures to talk to these scientists, and he was proving his points, these scientists were adverse to even accepting anything he had to say, without even taking the time to view his studies, to view what he had proven. So this is what we're up against. We're up against a division of the true nature of science and how it's proven out. They've destroyed that. There's no more ability for the people to know the sciences and to know what's being done and what is possible and what is not possible, because the science community that is corporate owned will not allow it. But here, this man has proven, and his team has proven this scientifically.
Yeah, I know the guy that you're talking about. I'm sitting here scrolling through my subscriptions, yeah, because I'm actually subscribed to his channel.
Uh-huh.
And he actually predicted the weather using the sun and all his theories, and told everybody, you know, where it was going to snow, when it was going to snow, and it did exactly what he said.
Yeah. It's amazing to me. It's amazing to me that this can be denied by science, that science actually did not want this man and tried to get him kicked out and everything, even though he did everything by the book. He made sure that he had all his I's dotted and his T's crossed before he did anything.
Does the name,
you know?
Does the name Pierce Morgan ring a bell?
No, it's not him. Let me see. I'm looking through mine to try and see if I can find it.
Well, Pierce Morgan was one of the scientists that basically talked about how the sun interacts with the earth, and he's got a YouTube channel out there and a website out there. I'm trying to remember the name of the doggone. Let me just Google it while we're talking about it. But
you know, this is the amazing thing to me, beyond that, we in this day and age of technological prowess, to where we can do supposedly miraculous things and create the entire technological sectors that we have, that we are so afraid of science that we are willing to shut someone down simply because their point of view differs. This is not science. That's not science, you know?
Yep.
I don't know. Let me see if I can find it. Let's see.
Now, I guess that must be the wrong name. Doggone it. What was that dude's name? Pierce Morgan was an idiot that was on one of the...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Crud. I hate it when I can't remember the guy's name. He's got real wild hair.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. He does the shows. I can't remember. Let me see. But that's not him either. This is... okay, here we go. Let's see.
Pierce Morgan was an idiot that needed to be off of TV. Oh, man. Oh, doggone.
Okay, here, I got it. I got it right here. This is, I would suggest this. Let me turn that off. I would suggest this to anyone who is on the fence about global warming.
What's the guy's name?
I want to make sure that this is the right one, and it's not. Let me find it. I've got like a dozen of them. Let's see. Yeah, let me go back up here. I think it's one of these. Let's see. I've got to go through.
There's just so much crazy stuff going on. It's hard to keep track. But I'm pretty positive I know the same guy that you're talking about. And I have...
Yeah, it should be right around here somewhere. Spensmark. Spensmark. Yes, this is it. Okay, I got it. His name is Spensmark. I'm going to post it in the chat right here, and then I'll post it in the Skype chat for you.
All right, well,
I recommend this to anyone who's on the fence about what is causing our climate to fluctuate. Excuse me, I got the hiccups. But, yeah. This is really a very telling, and it makes me, it lets you see right out in the open how the science community decides what can be put out there and what can't be put out there, and why we still don't know because of this, you know. So there's a conspiracy going on. I really truly believe that there is conspiracy that is keeping us from knowledge deliberately.
Oh, I believe that as well. And I'm still trying to find the science guy that I was talking about, but I don't know why in the heck Pierce Morgan came to mind, because that's not it. Oh,
yeah.
Doggone it. I got to find this guy, because he did the same, pretty much the same thing that you're talking about. And he was literally using his theories and everything, getting the weather right down to T. He'd tell you where it was going to rain, where it was going to snow, and all this kind of stuff. He talked about this same doggone thing. Pierce Corbin, that's the guy's name. Climate.
Yes, I have heard. Yes,
yeah,
I've had
Corbin,
a couple of
TED
talks with him.
All right, so now I'll send a link to the one I just found. It says climate change hoax is over. If I stop this stupid video that's playing, and I'm just going to put a link in of his name, Pierce Corbin. Let me see if I can find his actual YouTube. Doggone it. Anyway, there's money to be made in coal. There's money to be made in oil. There's money to be made in all the natural resources out there. And so as long as there's money to be made, the science is always going to be doggone questionable, because people want money in order to be able to do whatever it is that they want to do.
Right. I found it and posted it for you.
Yeah, there's one right there. The man that predicts weather better than anyone, Pierce Corbin. And he's got his own YouTube somewhere, but I'm just going to put a link in there to a video that I just found, just so that people have a starting point. But, come on, man. Technology wants to take its time. Alright. I'm posting a video in that has talking about Piers Corbin. I'm gonna post it in all the chat rooms and this
is his channel Windows on the World?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But he used to call it something else. There was a website that he had. I can't remember what the name of it was. It's been so long. But I did get the first name right. I just got the last name wrong. Anyway, the guy's brilliant and he talks about the doggone sun. And how the interaction with the sun's magnetic field interacting with our magnetic field actually has an effect on our weather. You know, if it's hotter, then more water will evaporate, creating more clouds, which in turn will regulate our climate up and down.
And low-level clouds.
Yeah.
Low-level clouds. Because our upper atmosphere will buffer ions, and the clouds below that it produces will disperse these ions, from what I understand. And don't take my word for it. You got to watch this video because he explains it. But it's all done in the methods that have always been tried and true in science by replicating.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's using a scientific method, which I trust. You know, if it's going to be an honest and not biased research, I mean, you can get any numbers to say whatever you want it to say so that you can get your outcome to come out. I don't want myself to look intelligent if I'm not intelligent. All right? I want my research and my work to speak for itself. If what I'm saying is wrong, I want to be somebody come to me with some science and show me where I went wrong so that I'm not repeating the same mistake over again. You see what I mean?
Yeah, and a good tell to know whether your science is independent or if it's contrived is who funded it.
Yeah.
You know, this video that I posted on this, I can't pronounce his last name, he was unfunded. That's why it took him so long. It took him like 4 years to create the lab because there was no one would fund his research for him. He could not get a grant to do this. So everything was done independently. He was not working for a paycheck. He was not working in order to get a grant, to fill a grant. There was none of that. What he was doing was strict science and for science.
Well, he's that the kind of guy we reason. Need at the table.
Yes.
See, those are guys and guys like myself who, you know, take physical science and show and do actual experiments and try to explain to people, you know, this is what science showed me and this is the result I got. Like my plasma technology. It's not new technology. I mean, it's been around for a long time. I mean, the plasma globe to most folks is just a toy, but I'm seeing something in there that science told me that light is heat and heat is light, vice versa.
Yes.
If you go up to a fluorescent bulb, and you put your finger on the glass of it, you'll note that after those things have been running for a while that they're warm. I mean, you're getting physical light. You're also getting, to some extent, from the high voltage in there, you're getting a vibration going on in through there that is also adding to that heat.
Well, did you ever have a lampshade cross over against a light bulb?
Yeah, the light bulbs in a tungsten element, they get ludicrous hot. And, you know, so that should tell you that the plasma technology that I'm talking about, if you can physically see it, then there's visible light involved, and then according to what science has said, that there's heat involved.
It's like lightning.
Yeah.
You know, that's a bright, bright light, and it's about as hot as you're ever going to find it, you know.
And lightning has started so many fires in this world, it ain't even remotely funny.
Exactly. You know?
And so, I'm basically, you know, since I'm trying to find an easy solution to alternative energy, I'm basically taking every option, putting it on the table, and I know that junk electricity that you couldn't run your computer because it'd fry it out, high voltage, you know, with not a lot of current or watts or amperage to it or anything like that, just high frequency, high voltage, does something that normally would be a bad thing. Yeah, I mean, it'll burn your computer up, it'll burn your TV up, you know, it'll burn through insulation and wire. And if you know that, then you understand that because it's at that higher frequency, it's actually generating heat. Heat is one of the most destructive of all the things that happens in nature. I mean, look at all the things. We need heat to keep warm in the wintertime. All right, and there's a lot of voltage, a lot of pressure involved, and at certain frequency ranges, you can get light bulbs to light up that otherwise would be burned out, that wouldn't light up. Fluorescent bulbs, even tungsten. I showed that you can take a oil burner igniter and plug one of into the light bulb into the dirt, and then you can plug the other one into the one leg of the oil burner igniter, and you can light up a tungsten element light bulb that has burned out that won't work under the standard system. And so using that and knowing that if you can get heat, you can also turn that energy into usable current again using thermoelectrics, then you could take what would have otherwise been junk energy and turn it around and utilize it. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Imagine being able to capture a lightning bolt and using that energy that the lightning bolt has just let loose.
Well, Tesla was good about that.
Yeah.
I mean, people think that the exchange of energy and lightning comes strictly from the atmosphere, but we also have discharges from the Earth. The Earth soaks up this energy and from all different modalities, and it releases it also in the form of energy. And if you ever seen a lot of these pictures, and I know you know what I'm talking about, lightning can come down, but it comes up from the Earth at the same time.
Yep.
You know?
See, what's occurring is the same thing that's happening into a capacitor or even a battery for that matter. See, batteries have a chemical inside of them that allows the electron flow from one plate to the next. A capacitor allows it to break over from one plate to the next and exchange electrons that way, the same way that the Earth does. Somebody asked that question earlier up in the chat room about the Earth being negatively charged and the atmosphere being positively charged and what Google and science says about it. Nonetheless, one of them is charged higher than the other, and the charge gets so high that it begins to ionize the air in between the Earth and the ground and producing a path for those electrons to literally flow. Essentially, when you energize the air between the Earth and the ground and you get that air to become more conductive, and that pressure above or the pressure below is higher than the opposite side, it's always going to take the nearest path to ground, and that's right straight up through the sky. So, you know,
exactly right.
That static buildup, and you can prove this in your own home. If you got a balloon, take and rub a balloon on your hair, put a lot more electrons on that balloon than there were there before, and then shut the light off and put that balloon anywhere near anything metal and watch that thing. You'll see a lightning bolt shoot across. That's how it works. That's scientific observation. You can see it. I mean,
charge and discharge.
Yeah, you can repeat it. But nature has provided all the energy we could ever want to use. All right, even these energy hog equipments that we got right now, if we decide that we want to use energy differently than we did before, then we'll have to modify our stuff. But It don't matter what appliance you're running out there. Right now we got like washers and dryers that run off at 220 volts or 120 volts AC, depending on what model you got or where you're using it at. But you don't have to have 120 volts AC to run a washing machine. You could do the same thing with a 12-volt battery and a motor, and you could build a washing machine specifically designed to run off of less voltage.
And I have to ask, you know, when I see the way we're still running off of AC current, I have to ask, with knowing, and we do know, because we have seen it done, that there are more ways of creating energy, and still we are on the same antiquated system without any movement towards moving towards these more sustainable, more cleaner, more efficient ways that the earth produces energy and of harnessing these things. You have to ask the question, why are we still using this antiquated and obsolete way of transferring energy, of producing energy? Why are we still using these turbines, these petrochemical ways of creating energy, when we know there are more efficient ways, when we know there are more renewable ways of using it? Why is the science not promoting these? Why are our governments, you know, they'll talk about them and they'll say you need to do them, but as soon as you do them, they come after you and tell you you can't do them. Why?
Well, the fact about it is, and anybody in this world who thinks that they can dispute it, I'll be more than willing to debate it with you. It has all to do with money and nothing to do with science. That's it. People like J.P. Morgan, they want to make money off of it. If it can't be metered, it's not of value to them. But the average Joe, who is struggling to pay an electric bill and a food bill and a water bill and all the utilities out there, why you're paying for water is crazy to me, because the earth is 3/4 covered in water. But nonetheless, somebody took the time to pipe it to you and clean it up and make sure that you had water and all that. If that's the service you want to pay for, then fine. Same thing with electricity. If somebody's using a coal-fired power plant and you think coal is bad, then buy electricity from somebody who uses nuclear. If you think nuclear is bad, then build your own solar panel systems and use wind power. All that. There's so many different ways to actually gather electricity that you need to run the inefficient junk that we run. But if you ever want to, instead of using Edison's AC or Edison's DC or Tesla's AC current, if you want to move into the future of clean, renewable, alternative energies that we've been talking about, then there might be a new form of electricity involved. There might be a use of an old form of electricity discovered hundreds, if not thousands, of years ago, that just got overlooked. Because,
well, I have another question.
Yeah.
And this is something that I've wondered all the time, and they talk about how we're running out of water. If the earth is a closed environment, how can we possibly run out of water? If water is evaporated, goes up to the clouds, and comes back down, how can we run out of water?
You can't.
That's what I thought.
You can't run out of carbon, so you'll never run out of oil. There's no resource on this planet that you will ever run out of, with exception of common sense. And common sense comes from the education. That's the only resource we got, Patty, that is ever going to run out, and that's common sense. The more you teach people bogus science and tell them lies about stuff, look, the government is going to make money off your taxes. They don't want you to stop paying taxes. The power company is going to make money off of your electrical usage. They don't want to stop making money. People who sell tires, they don't want you to stop buying tires, so they don't want to put a different type of product out there. I invent a light bulb that will last 1,000 years, then nobody can sell light bulbs anymore. You know?
Exactly.
If I give you free energy and you take and use it, then you don't have to pay an electric bill anymore. Look, if you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking hard enough. And if you paid attention in basic science and have a little bit of understanding of how energy actually travels, if you understand plumbing, then you understand electricity and you understand nature, because nature has showed you all along. I mean, look what happens when there's a flood. Look how much power, how much force is involved when that water comes rushing down the hill and rolls right over your house and tears your house right off the foundation and leaves you homeless. Now, first off, common sense would have said, don't build your house in a flood zone. Do your research and build your house on higher ground. And when you build your house, make it out of materials that are readily available, that aren't going to get blown over by the wind. There's geometrical shapes that will basically let wind flow right around it. You know? And so, I'm sitting here in the year 2017, and I'm baffled that we got houses that are still getting blown over, and earthquakes that are shaking buildings down, and we got tragedies occurring all over the world, when all the science is necessary to literally build a nearly indestructible house with self-contained systems that will give you all the energy you could ever want and then some. There, look, if you're sitting there talking about climate change because of CO2 and you don't understand basic science, okay, I'll humor you. I'll show you a way to make a clean burning engine that won't pollute, and it will put nothing more than natural back into nature. It's there. All the answers are there. I talked to a guy that works on cars, and I've told this story before. He could build a motor. He's got a shop, and he can build it. He's got all the precision equipment and measuring. He can take and build an internal combustion engine by himself with his own knowledge and get that thing to run. And I told him about running a car on water. Well, suddenly the school book kicked in. Suddenly the science kicked in. And he's like, well, no, you can't do this because of that or whatever. Well, hold on a second. Basic science said that water was hydrogen and oxygen. And you separate those two, then you got both of them are a combustive material. Oxygen will burn and hydrogen will burn. And when you burn the two together, guess what you get out the other side? Out the exhaust, water. So if there's an engine that is specifically designed to run off of any specific fuel, it doesn't matter what it is. Everything out in this world can be used for fuel. And so, if you know the chemical makeup of it, you know how to basically engineer it, you know how to do exactly what nature does, I can tell you why the doggone power plants over there at Fukushima blew up. And when I tell you that it was a hydrogen explosion that occurred, and when I tell you that it was compression ignition that occurred, and that was what basically caused the pressure to build up to the extent that it exploded through the building and threw radioactive material all over the doggone place, and then you're going to turn around and tell me you can't run a car on water. And when people like the Mythbusters come out there and they show, well, this is hydrogen technology, and then they show an explosion, and they don't have the basic common sense to understand how dangerous hydrogen technology is if you don't have a flashback arrestor going into your system before you put the hydrogen in there. They should have known that. They're supposed to be brilliant scientists.
But, oh, it's come to the point to where Mythbusters, I can't even watch it anymore.
Yeah, I don't trust them.
I've seen so much, yeah.
But that's the whole point. When they do that stuff, when they do that stuff, they steal from humanity.
Right. And then you have the people who don't even think that there could be another answer, that perhaps maybe that doesn't work out, that stand on the dividing line that is destroying science that we have today. Science is doing their own part to discredit themselves,
yeah.
I believe purposely. And then we have the division that's created from this bunk science of the people that are arguing against the reality of science, the truth of science,
yep.
for the science. It's like it's a total war on science. We're becoming dumber.
Yeah. Well, the whole thing boils down to somebody wants to control your life and your wallet. That's it. If it wasn't for somebody wanting the money in your pocket, if somebody wanting control over what you believe and what you do, then we'd have real scientists out there in the world, and we would make advancements in this world.
But now, it's further than that, too, Shaviz. It's the whole of society is going backwards, is regressing.
De-evolving.
Yes. Yes. Willing. I mean, they're willing forgetting how we got here and what we know. They're taking for granted. It's like the thing now that is going to where we've got this racism issue. What the heck? Why are we still discussing race in this day and age?
Yep.
Why does it have a bearing on anything in this day and age? It definitely has no backing to it. There is no substantial reasons to have a race debate. We're not living in the times of our ancestors when race did play a part. We've gone beyond that now. The only thing that we can say today about race is that we keep bringing up the past in order to fight about it today. And we're promoting divisions that don't even exist anymore.
Yeah, no,
simply
sir.
Because today it's acceptable.
Yeah, those today, divisions make somebody money.
Yes. Yes.
That somebody ain't you.
Statues, and we're defacing property because of why. And we think that we're doing a good thing. We're destroying history, good or bad.
Yep.
History needs to be preserved. If
yep.
we can't see the crimes committed in history, then how are we possibly to know in the future that this can happen? You know?
Yep.
What happens when we disregard all histories that are antagonistic to a global view?
At some point, we're going to repeat all the mistakes of the past.
Yes.
And we're going to keep on going down the same doggone road. That's why I get so dang frustrated. Because I want to move forward, Patty. I'm tired of going backwards. And I can't go forward as long as somebody keeps throwing a boat anchor on me.
Yeah. Instead of promoting divisions, why aren't we promoting unity? Why aren't we promoting truth above all things? Throwing out there like the blacks are saying, you know, that my people were slaves and you kept us down. No, I didn't do that.
No, you know, I didn't either. I wasn't alive.
Right. And in fact, if you go back through history far enough, oh, you can't because it's been destroyed. That's right. But you can suppose that at one time, everyone was a freaking slave. Everyone. Everyone was under the control. And guess what? Today, we are all slaves under control. So there's no difference. You cannot say that this white guy over here is responsible for my ancestors, because he's not. We're all responsible for being slaves, right?
Yeah, and since I come from a multi-heritage background, who am I to blame?
Yeah, me. Look at me. I'm Métis. I can say you Europeans, you committed genocide against my people. No, it wasn't them. It was the pricking control and the governments that caused this genocide. It's the same thing with every other tribe. The white tribe was one of the first to fall. The first to be obliterated to the point of slavedom. It's not that they were never slaves. It's not that they never suffered under the control. They were the first to lose their culture. They were the first to lose their tribal nature. They were the first to be co-opted.
Yep.
And it's still going on. The same thing over and over and over. But what are we fighting about, Shaziz? What are we fighting about today? Something that happened 200 years ago.
Yeah.
Something that happened 150 years ago.
Just like you just said, though, we're still, to this very day, we're all slaves. This is the whole point of everything, man. This is why the Mad Science Show still goes, because if you're looking out there and you see all the possibilities of what we could be doing and seeing what's actually going on, and then you follow the money trail back to the man, then you can understand it don't matter what color you are, what background, or what you believe or disbelieve. As long as you're fighting amongst each other, you're making somebody money. As long as you are bucking the system, then somebody's going to come against you because they want to make money. If I show you a free energy device and you go out there and you use it, then somebody ain't making money and they don't like that. Period.
That's right. And we have proof for the pudding there.
Yep.
How many people have developed these free energy systems only to be shut down, and in many cases, they're not even on this earth anymore.
When the people, you know? When the people of this world, if the people of this world could ever wake up and to reality, to the extent that, we look around us, we recognize we got all this potential, we got nature that will work with us. As long as we work with nature, we can build all the things that all the environmentalists out there keep on saying that they want. The governments keep on saying that they want. We got to preserve nature, we got to be self-contained, self-sustained, and we got to not be dependent on foreign countries for resources and stuff. When we get to the point where we recognize that right before us, like my friend Steve always says, we have the vast sum of all humanity's knowledge at our fingertips. So there is no excuse for all this ridiculousness going on right now. And
exactly.
It's income equality. It's a war on women. It's a war on drugs. It's a war on poverty. It's a war on everything. And that's,
yeah, that war on poverty. Yeah, how many decades has the UN been working towards ending poverty and starvation in Africa?
Well, where are
and
they?
How close are they to getting there? Now tell me why in this day and age, with the ability to produce food, to produce arable land, to produce agricultural land from deserts, which has been done and proven. Jeff Lawton, many others have proven this. Why are we only sending rice to these people who are, quote, starving and being saved by the UN? If you have a government who is telling you that there are people starving and we are doing our best to get them fed after 80 years has not done that, after 50 years has not done that, after 40 years has not done that, why are you still believing them?
Yeah, and my thing is this, let's take the continent of Africa for example. Supposedly a huge landmass, one of the most mineral and resource rich nations in the world, that have some of the most poorest people in the world that can't even get fresh water to drink. In the year 2017, with all the water filtration technology and all the knowledge about irrigation and everything like that, you tell me why these people should be suffering like this? There ain't no reason. It's pure ridiculousness. And I can't shout it too loud. I can't shout it enough. And if the people of this world really want results, then that's about getting up off the couch. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, and if you're not asking these questions to yourself, if you haven't asked these questions, then you don't want to know the answers.
Yeah.
But and after all this time, this question has to be in your mind. Why, after all this time, have these things not been corrected?
If you're quoting a science book and calling somebody else ignorant and how stupid they are because they question the norm, then you didn't learn nothing, period.
That's right. That's right.
If you take that knowledge that you've acquired and you put that with a little bit of common sense and a little bit of elbow grease, you'd be surprised what you could accomplish with your brothers and sisters around the world.
And if you cannot bear to defend your hypothesis or your theory against questions, then your hypothesis and your theory is on shaky ground.
That's right. Truth is basically at the mercy of the teller, so to speak.
Yeah, if you can't be bothered to prove your point, if all you can do is call someone ignorant because they ask a question and you don't have the wherewithal to answer it, then you're the one who has failed. You're the one who has misunderstood. You're the one who has not proven your point. So you have no right to disqualify a question from anyone by not answering. The only way you can disqualify is by proving your theory, proving your truth.
Sure,
this is the only way it's done.
Put all the evidence on the table. That's all we ask. And you know, come together, get things resolved. I mean, if you really, if the weather, the shape of the earth is flat or round, is really that important to the grand scheme of things, then get all your best minds and go out there with your best tools and prove it or disprove it or just leave it alone. Because as far as I'm concerned, it don't matter to me whether we did or didn't go to the moon. If you're so wrapped up in, you want it to be true so badly that you have to believe it, then that's all right. Believe what you want to believe. But don't take and try to tell somebody how stupid they are when you're not willing to go that extra mile and put the proof on the table that would take and fix the really important problems of the world, such as why is anybody still starving? If NASA was technologically advanced enough to put a man on the moon in 1969, put a rover on Mars and send one to Pluto and take pictures of all this stuff out there in the great beyond, if we were that technologically advanced and had the technology to literally produce energy that would fly 9 years through the deep dark space and then send a photo back still producing over 200 and some odd watts of power so far away that the sun looks like a little dot in the sky. If they had that technology then they have the technology now, and you could utilize that technology to ensure that somebody on this planet doesn't have snot sickles when they're trying to sleep. That you keep them warm. That you keep lights on so they ain't stubbing their toe on the coffee table. That you keep the refrigerator running so their food can stay good and all that kind of stuff. That they got fresh water to drink. Look. It's common sense and basic science. If you can't utilize those two things, then you ain't never going to get nothing done. Somebody said, Anon8573 said, a little off topic from has been talked about today, but I'm curious, what do you think your last video will be? What is that you'll be revealing that the world to the world? I know it'll be free energy, but what exactly will this consist of? and how will it work? What is it you're trying to do, if you don't mind? I don't mind that question. Been waiting for somebody to ask that question for a long time. I started off a long time ago on a quest to prove once and for all, beyond a shadow of a doubt, irrefutable proof, 150,000% beyond a shadow of a doubt, that energy's free. And in the process of that, I stumbled onto a few things that could be used in worst case scenarios to at least keep the lights on, or a fan, or a little bit of power. And I shared all these different anomalies with each other, with everybody. Little bitty pieces of the puzzle that, when put all together in the grand scheme of things, would actually have a functional device that would show that you could take energy, which science says clearly, energy can neither be created nor destroyed, so where does it go? And the way that we utilize energy today, it makes somebody a lot of money, because it's done inefficiently and it's able to literally make billionaires out of people who own electric companies and nuclear power plants and such. But the ultimate gizmo has to be something that the average Joe can understand, could be taken so many different directions if you're willing to take that information, put those pieces of the puzzle together, and use that information to not just build an electrical device that'll run the power of your house, but to be able to use that same device and the information that you learn from that device to make this world a better place once and for all. To literally put those folks that are basically oppressing all of humanity back in their place. Why are we out there fighting wars over oil? You're never going to run out of oil. Unless this earth stops doing what it is that it is doing and has been doing since the dawn of mankind. No matter how long you think this planet's been here. It is a self-contained biosphere of epic proportions. It is a thermoelectric generator. It has wind power, solar power. If you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking hard enough. So my final video is literally going to be one that opens Pandora's box and puts information on the table that otherwise would have got ignored or buried so deep that the control freaks of the world will continue to do what it is that they do to people. I'm 52 years old. If I've seen a starving baby when I was a child, and I watched all the way as I'm growing up, somebody telling me about eat up all your food because there's somebody in this world not as fortunate as you, so they don't have food. And so you shouldn't waste, and it's shameful to waste. And I believe it is shameful to waste. I took every bit of knowledge that I had and I put it in the craziest form possible out there in videos that I could show people without literally making a target of myself, such as when you make a huge claim and say, I got a car that'll run on water. You get the government's attention. You get the oil company's attention. You get shady people's attention. And I don't want that kind of attention. And I didn't even want that kind of credit. So, if I got my name in the school books, it would be Shaziz in the school books. It wouldn't be me. Plain and simple. Because I'm not in this for money. I'm not in this for fame or fortune. I'm in this because I feel like there's a necessity out there that was told to me by the government, that was told to me by the environmentalists, that was told to me via all the history of wars and rumors of wars and plagues and famines and pestilence. I know that nature has provided medicine. There's certain things you can't say when it comes to medicine because you'll get thrown in jail. I know that nature has provided all the energy necessary to get all the work done to keep you cool when you need to be cool, to keep you warm when you need to be warm. The information and all the pieces of the puzzle are sitting right there in front of your very eyes. My last video will be the holy grail of all videos. When I do this last video, I am going to go off the power grid in style. I guarantee you, everyone's going to know when Oshaziz goes off the power grid once and for all. And until that point, when I actually get down to where I want to do, when I think enough people's watching, and I do what it is that I know that I can do, I guarantee you, the world will take note. And once that Pandora's box is open, there ain't no way to put that information back in. Period. And so, as long as there's a need in the world, as long as there's wars over oil and resource and people not being able to have access to fresh water, then there's a need for mad scientists all over the world to show everybody things that they might have overlooked. The Mercury arc rectifier was a gizmo that they used to take Edison's high voltage, or Tesla's high voltage AC current to turn into high voltage DC current. In the process of that, they literally built the first plasma reactor that nobody even realized its true potential. Basic science says light is heat and heat is light, vice versa. And so we know that we can take junk electricity and we can produce heat. We can produce light. There's two of the main draws on your power. All the rest of that, it's just about how we design things from here on out. There are things in this world that are possible that would boggle the mind. There are things that science said could not be done that can be done. There's so much more to this world than meets the eye, and you are capable of so much more than you can possibly imagine. But yet you're told they're not possible. You're told that there are limitations to science and physics. Limitations to what the humans can accomplish or not accomplish. I'm here to say that you might want to rethink the school book. You might want to step outside the box long enough, if you have the heart and the care and the courage to step outside the box and resolve all the issues of this world. Together, we can do it. A few straggling people might get a few things accomplished, but it's nothing like what we could do if we all decided we wanted to come together and resolve all of the world's problems. Energy is free. No ifs, ands, or buts. Not looking for zero point. Not looking for over unity. Not looking for all the fancy terminology used to try to get out more than you put in. Not even trying to defy the laws of physics. Only taking what we have available to us and utilizing it to its full potential. To bring the efficiency so high that if you do use coal, fossil fuels, or anything like that, that you use it in such an efficient manner that it works in perfect harmony with nature. We can re-engineer the internal combustion engine. Or we can take the same internal combustion engine and we can modify it to the extent that it runs so efficiently that you hardly have to use any gasoline or diesel. These aren't science fiction. This is science fact. A diesel engine uses compression ignition. The Fukushima explosion ignited because of compression ignition. You literally took water and you took a highly refined radioactive rod that is decaying, and as that decay is occurring, is releasing energy into a water molecule, which is a dipole molecule, meaning that it has a positive and a negative field to it. And so as that is decaying, it's doing exactly what your microwave oven has been doing. It's rocking those water molecules so rapidly that it's producing friction, which in turn is producing heat and is cooking your food. The steam pressure built up so high inside a closed container that as you separate and recombine hydrogen and oxygen, you actually produce an electrical current. With the pressure, with the heat, with the superheated steam, everything that was occurring inside there, you literally got a hydrogen explosion that obliterated the building that it was in. That explosion spread all kinds of radioactive particles all over the general vicinity. this to me is ridiculous. Using old technology such as steam generation to run turbines, to turn a generator head, is ridiculous. You got sort of modern technology being intertwined with ancient technology, which Murphy's Law states if it can go wrong, it will go wrong. And it usually does. And so I'm saying that there's a form of energy out there that has been there all along that nature shows you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There is a lightning strike somewhere on this planet. You couldn't plug a lightning bolt into your toaster, you'd fry it. You couldn't plug it into your computer, you can fry it. But you can take that energy, you can gather that energy, or you can replicate that energy, because we have the technology with MOSFETs and transistors to literally flip the switch like Tesla showed. You flip the switch on and off, on and off, on and off, which creates a frequency. Frequency being how fast you turn something on and off, essentially that. How often and how fast something occurs. When you're pulsing that magnetic field that rapidly, you will ramp up the voltage, drop down the current, drop down the watts and the amps and all that that you normally run, and you will have a high frequency, high voltage that normally you couldn't utilize. By taking that high frequency, high voltage and putting it into a noble gas, which is not explosive under most circumstances, but taking that high voltage, high frequency, you can energize any of the noble gases into the fourth state of matter, being plasma. That plasma, if it has visible light, is also generating heat. That heat energy could be transferred. And as far as the laws of physics, we're not trying to defy the laws of physics. We're not trying to defy Lenz's law. We're just taking what science had told us, that we could take energy and transfer it into a completely different state of matter, completely different form of energy, no longer called AC current, no longer called DC current, just completely different type of energy, and we can utilize that energy, and if need be, we can take that next energy created to transfer it back into usable, well-known energy, AC or DC current, using capacitor technology, battery technology, all kinds of different methods, thermoelectrics, Peltier elements, thermal couples, thermal piles. NASA supposedly sent a probe completely so far away that looking back, all you saw was a little speck of light in the sky, and that was our sun. By the time it went through space over 9 years, it got to the other side, it was producing over 200 watts of power. How many years does something have to work before it can be classified as free energy? How long can a battery last through the deep, dark roughness of space, an inhospitable environment, and come out the other side and still function to generate enough electricity to send us a picture to something we can't even hardly see with our best telescope? What I'm going to show in my last video is going to be so incredibly profound in so many different aspects. When I believe that there's enough people paying attention, I'll put something on the table, as I guarantee you, before I die, it's going to happen. And even if I meet my untimely demise, it's going to happen. I may have been born at night, but it wasn't last night. I'm not as stupid as I look. In a lot of my videos, they're that way for a reason. There's a question mark for a reason. What is possible? If you don't think it is possible, then move on. If you think that it is possible, then stick around and ask some questions. Stick around and put your theories and your evidence on the table to say why it is or isn't possible. Because the only way any kind of innovation will ever occur in this world that we find ourselves in, which is chaotic and greedy and selfish and just insane, is when people like you put your best thoughts out there on the table as part of those pieces of the puzzle that makes it all happen. One, two, three, maybe four, maybe five, possibly 10 pieces of that puzzle in a 500-piece puzzle will make a little corner of the picture. But until you bring this world together, until you bring all these people with all the gifts and talents to the table, and you put all their pieces of the puzzle together, you will never find out what our true potential is. You will never get the big picture. And I'm saying, no matter how you think we got here, whether it be some cosmic explosion in space that accidentally put everything in the place at the right time, or whether you think it's divine creation or whatever, it doesn't matter how we got here. It only matters where we're going and where we've been. The lessons that we learn will define the future of all of humanity. And if we're ever to boldly go where no man has gone before, we got to get our act together. Otherwise, mad science has a reason to exist. I paid attention in school. I paid attention in science. I paid attention to the world. I paid attention when people told me that our world was in jeopardy and that there were people in this world that were in need. So I do what I do in some of the most craziest way, and I question everything that I'm told, from NASA to our government to even the alternative medias and alternatives of everything. I want to know the truth. Some people believe that I can't handle the truth, and maybe I can't. But nonetheless, I'm seeking the truth. I'm seeking the same journey that each and every one of you seeking. And we're on the same boat, traveling through whatever kind of space or time or whatever. And we're doing it together. But we dropped the ball. So, Patty, after all that craziness, you got any thoughts?
Well, I think that if I could add anything to what you're saying, it would be that we don't have answers given to us. They're not out there for us to pick and choose and say, well, I will debate this, I will debate that, because there's no debate anymore. The proof has to come from the people, because the scientific community is not going to produce it for us. If they have it, they're not going to give it to us. We've already seen that. We understand that. So the only recourse that we do have, Shazuz, is in trusting that people will come to the table, that the average Joe, the garage scientist, the people who have no motive whatsoever other than to find the truth, those are the people that we have to start supporting, that we have to start promoting. This is the only way. We live in a time, Shaziz, that nothing is real. We can't take anything for granted that we're given today. We're, as I said a little bit earlier, we're more in the dark ages now than we have ever been. We're going backwards. And the only people that we can rely on are the people with no ulterior motive.
Yep, I agree.
That are not controlled, that are not part of a corporate structure, that do not have a set principle that they want to prove. We need people with open minds. We need people who are willing to ask every single question that can be asked and to seek out those answers. And that's why we need you. And that's why I am so grateful for your show, and have always and will always support you in everything that you do. Well, and I want to thank you.
I appreciate you for standing. I appreciate that more than you can possibly imagine. Look, I'm out here. I can't be the only one out here. I don't have all the answers. I'm only one piece of the puzzle. But if I'm sitting here saying to the world that we got every doggone answer necessary, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to look and see what we have available to us. I mean, the resources are unlimited. And you got people talking about we need to depopulate the planet. There's something seriously wrong with that. We're able to go through time and space. You know, we're able to do all this stuff, and yet we can't feed the hungry. We can't build rocket ships or spaceships and move some of the people to another planet and, you know, that kind of stuff. I personally kind of hope we're stuck here for a moment, because if this mentality goes out and stinks up the rest of the galaxy, I don't want to go out there and visit a place where there's pirates in every direction and crazy stuff going on. I want us to get our act together before we go anywhere.
I agree there. We owe the universe more than that.
Yep, and I think we owe each other more than what we've been doing. I mean, the racism, the hate, the craziness, the labels, the government corruptions, the corporations, and all this. You're standing on one of the most amazing gifts, the most brilliant thing in the history of time itself. And it was given to us. And I would say, accident or not, I feel pretty doggone fortunate to be standing on this earth and to be able to see all the beauty and all the capabilities of what we got at our disposal, and us being caretakers and stuff. If we was to ever decide to resolve all the situations that we find to be terrible on this planet, the wars, the rumors of wars, the plagues, the famines, the pestilence, all that kind of stuff, if we ever decided to come together, see, in my belief, there is a divine creator. And I'd kind of like to make that divine creator smile, say, hey, look what I did. I made this man and that woman, and they made their family, and they went out there and they took all this gift that I gave them and they used it to its full potential, and they were able to excel and become what it was that they were meant to be. I don't think that we were meant to sit down here and tear each other apart or destroy this planet. I think we were sit down here to literally become the best that we could possibly be, whatever that outcome ends up. I think that our potential, as far as humanity, we haven't even scratched the surface of what we're capable of. And I'm not talking to nobody about no hoodoo voodoo version of life. I'm talking about science fact that has been set down before you that shows you how to filter water so nobody should be dying of thirst. The earth is 3/4 covered in water, so we ain't never going to run out of it. If you burn water, you get water. Water's the most stable and the most destructive molecule on the planet. The forces of water pressure is why you're able to turn the knob on your sink and get some water out to drink. So that technology is resolved. Energy comes in so many different forms. It comes in light, it comes in wind, it comes in thermal. It's all over the place. That technology is resolved. There's no reason for anyone to freeze or to suffer from heat exhaustion or to die of starvation or to die of sicknesses when there are plants on this earth that have medicine in the plants. And you took an entire culture and shuffled them aside and ignored them and allowed a company or corporation to come out there and give you synthetic replacement for what nature had already provided. We've got everything. We've got enough food, we've got enough medicine, we've got enough science and resources in order to make this world so amazing. If anybody ever decides that they really want to go for broke, you got Shaziz on the team, you got Patty on the team, and Steven Gibbons, and Simply Steve, and looks like Anon's in there with it too. So, folks, we're only limited by how far we're willing to go to see how far humanity could really reach. Some people want to reach for the brass ring. I want to reach for the stars. I want to see a day when this world, instead of people talking about making the world a better place, I want to see this world as a better place. And even if I'm looking back from the great beyond, I want somebody to know that I put my part in there. I want to look back and say, look, you know, I had a part in making that beautiful world that those folks live in. I got grandchildren, and soon my grandchildren probably end up having great-grandchildren. I got kids, I got family, I got friends, I got people all over the world that I love and care for. And so I do what I do, and I point out what I point out of all the research and all the studies and paying attention in school. I do what I do because I care. It's as simple as that. If I wanted to get rich, I could have sold out years ago. Trust me. But that ain't the case. So anyway, folks, we're over our time again, Patty. These brilliant conversations just blow me away.
That's why I love your show. You're willing to do what you have to do, say what you have to say. And you know, the thing about your shows that I like so much is we can start on one topic and we can run the gamut. But all along the way, we're proposing the positive side of things. We're proposing the solution. We're proposing, and the greatest solution that you've come up with today is to inspire others. You know, there was a time when science was at its infancy, when people were looking up at the stars and asking the first questions. You can pretty much say we're back there right now at square one. So it's an open theater for anyone who wants to start asking the questions again. Yep. So this is a good time for those who want to ask those questions, and they have the support of people like you and many others like you, Shaziz. And so I see this as a positive, always a positive show.
Well, I'm happy, and I'm so grateful that you joined me. Look, folks, you've been listening to the Mad Science. I'm going to leave you out of here with one last thing that I probably said before and I'll probably say again. If you've been looking and waiting and anticipating and wanting and wishing and praying for a miracle, all you got to do is go walk in your room anywhere where you got a mirror and take a look. Look in that mirror. You are the miracle that you've been waiting for. Energy is free. I will prove it. I guarantee you that. If I haven't proven it by now, somebody's just not paying attention. But there's a nifty little device I'm going to put out there on the market. I don't want to say on the market. I don't want to put it on the market because I don't want to pay for it. I just want to put it out there. And I'm hoping that somebody will share that with everybody on this planet. I'm hoping that it don't get shelved. And I'm hoping that if you like anything you heard on these shows, that you pass these podcasts around just to get people's mind thinking. That's one of the keys of my channel. That's one of the keys of this radio station, is to get people's mind ticking to possibilities. Without the belief in yourself, without the belief in what is possible, with that cage that you're in that we call the notorious box, until you step outside the box and take a look around you and see the big picture, then you're going to keep being controlled.
You hear me? Give my creation life!
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Ah! 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 begin.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch.